I was going to go through some of these things about the centurion's servant, and the centurion's faith, and how God, how Jesus Christ, our Lord, compared the centurion's faith to the faith of Israel, or the lack thereof. So I'm going to start off, it'll be a lot of verses, but what better to read than what God said? And we'll start in Matthew 8, and if somebody wants to post these, it'll be, you know, better for everybody that they can see it. I don't have that that talent to multitask that well. I wouldn't be stumbling along. And I am anyway, I know. But the centurion had a sick servant. And let's start in Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Pretty blunt statement, isn't it? I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and have soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Comes of heaven. The kingdom comes from heaven, in other words. Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you can see that in Zechariah 12, 10 and 11. Verse 13, And Jesus answered, Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. So, regarding that centurion's faith, you could see it displayed there, couldn't you, in those verses? But let's look at Acts 14, verse 8, and we'll see some more about faith and being healed. Acts 14, 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Verse 9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Verse 10, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and said in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Well, that displays faith, but that last comment there of those men in Lycaonia, it's not good. You know, don't copy that. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. No, that's idolatry. But, well, let's go on. Israel's lack of faith, we can see that, as we said a minute ago, in Romans chapter 9, verse starting with 30, going through the end of the chapter, and down into chapter 10. Starting with verse 30 in chapter 9, what shall we say then? that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, which Gentiles would that be? Followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, this is Romans 9:31, Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. How come? Wherefore is what it says. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. That's why. Let me go back a verse, 31 and 32 together. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Verse 33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So that stumbling stone and rock of offense is a him. It's Jesus Christ, obviously. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. So Paul says what Israel lacked, what Israel failed in, was to have faith. Which faith? What faith in what? Well, Paul identifies it here. He says it's the faith which we preach, that Jesus, the first four verses of the book of Romans show it to us. It's called the gospel of God, but what it does is it tells who Jesus is. It doesn't say, do or believe this and you're going to be saved. It's not a gospel of salvation. It is good news, though. It's good news about who Jesus is. It identifies him. It identifies him as Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus is risen from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those three things make up the gospel of Christ, the gospel that Paul preached synagogue after synagogue when he went in. For three Sabbaths, he would preach that very message, those three things about who Jesus is. It identifies Jesus. That's why it says that they were to believe the name of Jesus, his identity, who he is, that he's the Son of God, that he's not a fraud, that they didn't crucify a fraud as they thought they had. They crucified the Son of God, the Messiah, the one they'd been waiting for, the one that was prophesied throughout the Scriptures. So Israel, as we can, well, we'll look and see in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1, we'll see that they're to be cast out. They're under a curse. Israel themselves, they think that because they're Israelites, they get a free pass. They're righteous just by being born an Israelite. No, they're under a curse. There were blessings and cursings. Deuteronomy 28:1, And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he lists some blessings. Mighty blessings, physical blessings, earthly blessings. But then you get down to verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. That's another one of the blessings. And thou shalt be above only and shalt not be beneath if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe them and to do them. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And if you go, he lists curse after curse after curse. You get down to verse 43, the stranger that is within thy, talking to Israel, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Verse 44 and 45. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come on thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. Well, there was the curse, and we know what they did. Let's go into more of it here. Israel did get cast out of the land. Cast away. That's the term the Bible uses. Cast out would be more what Brian was talking about before, and Mark, the 70 A.D., exile or expulsion, I don't know what you would call it, from the land, which isn't actually prophesied. What's prophesied is that they will be blinded and cast away from being God's people. So let's read those verses. Acts 28, this is when Paul, inspired of God, enacted those verses in Isaiah 6 that were to be kept until Israel had just gone too far, and God said, no more. We're not, the mercy ran out, and God said, it's time to enact the reconciliation, which he did. And his son, Jesus Christ, died for Israel's sins, as it says in Isaiah 53. And we find out later, after Paul gets saved after Acts 9, that he died for our sins too. But that wasn't what was prophesied. All that was prophesied was that he would die for Israel's sins. So let's look at the Acts 28 casting away, and the blinding and casting away of Israel. It doesn't actually come out and say that's what it is, but it, you'll see as we go through that it does involve Israel's blinding and their casting away. It's no more, they're no more God's people. Acts 28, starting in verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. There's a blindness right there. It'll hit their eyeballs, but they won't perceive, they won't understand. Verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Can't see with closed eyes. That's a blinding. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So there's a big positive because of Israel's negative. Romans 11:26 through the end of the chapter talks about that. When he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves, as they do today. They're still cast away. Let's look at the prophecy about when they would be cast away, about their casting away, and what's going to follow. The what's going to follow hasn't happened yet. Part of it. The prophesied part hasn't happened yet. So, looking in Hosea 1, chapter 1 of Hosea, a little book in the Minor Prophets toward the latter part of the Old Testament. Hosea 1:9 and verse 10 and 11 also, but starting in 9, "Then said God, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." What chilling words, man. But that's the position Israel adopted. I mean, that's what they had. They stopped, as we saw, they no longer heeded the commandments or the covenants. Going to verse 10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God." Now, would that be somebody other than those Israelites? The Israelites are the ones that, the disbelieving Israelites were the ones that were said, you are not my people, it was said of them. So, it says, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. There's no room there to say that the body of Christ takes the inheritance or the promises that God promised to Israel. This verse says that God is going to fulfill those promises to whom he made them, to Israel. Pardon me. Okay, Hosea 1:11. "Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." So, that hasn't happened yet. They're not a godly nation. They're not a holy nation. They're not, a kingdom of priests. They're not over all the other nations in the world. As Daniel 2:44 says, once that kingdom is set up, it'll last forever, and it will be over all the world. So, it hasn't happened yet. It's yet future. In the meantime, how is God saving people if we can't get to God through Israel's covenants and commandments and circumcision and Sabbath and all the array of commands and laws and ordinances that they had? Look in Acts 13, starting in verse 38. For now, we'll start there. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," it just described Jesus being the Son of God, the Christ, risen from the dead, it says, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Now that was, Peter had been going around and Jesus talking about that their sins would be remitted. They would have remission of sins until Christ returns. Acts 3:19 says, when Christ returns, he will blot out their sins. Well, that's not the salvation that we know, that Christ revealed to Paul for us. We're saved upon belief. So, well, I interrupted. Let me go through those two verses again. Acts 13, 38 and 39. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things." I like that. Justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that, I like it even more because it shows that there were two ways to be justified. One that worked, what we have today, revealed to Paul for us, and one that didn't work, that was by the law of Moses. The covenants and all that we had mentioned earlier. So, by him all that believe are justified from all things. That includes past, present, and future, doesn't it? You're justified from future sins. No, if that if you think that's a license to sin, you're looking at it from an unsaved person's point of view. Because you should, you know, anybody that is realistic about this would have a joyful exuberance wanting to do what Christ says and how he leads today. And that's found in Paul's epistles, especially in the later ones that don't also have the information for the Jews and Greeks in it in a dispensation of the gospel. So let's look in Galatians and see where that gospel that Paul preached, where it came from. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. Chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was revealed to him. He did not receive it of man. Was Peter a man? Sure was. What about James? John? Matthew? Jude? They were all men. Paul says, "I preached to me is not after man, for I received neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Jesus revealed it to him. And we see several places where Jesus Christ reveals things to Paul, either in dreams or in standing in front of him or however. Another thing about that gospel, when it was revealed to Paul, it was new. It was the first time God used that pattern of salvation. Let's look in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. In other words, everybody should accept this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save. I'm going to take a stop there. What did the Jews think he came into? He came into the world to save them, the law keepers, the righteous. But that's not what it is anymore. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And that word that's translated chief comes up again in the next verse, translated first, among whom I am first. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, that's that word that's translated chief in the verse above, in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, in other words after Paul, believe on him to life everlasting. Not believe and be good, not believe and behave, not believe and measure up. Believe on him that he died for my sins, and my sins are all died for now. Died for your sins. Let's look at another. The Bible has three or four accounts of Paul's salvation on the road to Damascus. And after this one in Acts 22, that goes from, I forget where it starts, I think around verse 6 and goes to verse 16. And after that, he tells about another sending that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ, a further sending. For sending out further than during a dispensation of the gospel, when the Lord was working a work among them that they would not believe. Acts 22, starting in verse 17. And it came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem. You see, he's not on the Damascus road. He's not describing his salvation experience at this point. He starts something different. He says, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. In other words, if you tell them what I'm going to tell you in a minute, they'll kill you. They won't receive it. So he says, get out of Jerusalem. And that's the words he said. He said, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And Paul argues about it a little bit, or says, let me get down to the meat of this. verse 21, and he, Jesus Christ, said unto me, Paul, depart, for I will, in other words, future from that time in Jerusalem, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And he testifies about that at the end of his life there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 17, says that he was sent to all the Gentiles, not just those Gentiles that were in the synagogues in a dispensation of the gospel, which would be early, Acts 13, Acts, I'm trying to think, Acts, in Acts 9, he was just preaching the gospel of God, as far as we know. And there is a possibility, since there were people saved from his gospel in Acts 11, that he preached it there, but it doesn't say he preached it. It says he preached it, what we read before in Acts 13. So, let's read the gospel as is given to us by Paul. He gave it to those in Corinth, but then it's verified later, saying that those that believed afterwards believed, in essence, he's saying they believed the same gospel. That's in Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. But let's look at the gospel itself that we're saved by today, that new pattern that the Lord started by saving Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, now this is Paul writing back to those in Corinth after he had preached the gospel to them, and he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And that's so important that he's talking about which gospel? The one that I preached unto you. Not Peter's gospel. Not about washing in the river and not about building an ark. None of those gospels count right now. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. Are saved. That's an instant thing. That's an instantaneous thing. And the condition being that you receive Paul's gospel, not somebody else's, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That's the key, receiving it, not just believing that it's a fact. Receiving it to your own need. We're all condemned. We need a Savior. And we need to receive God's provision of a Savior in this way. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen. He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, the present at the time he wrote this in Acts 19. But some are fallen asleep, he says. So, the faith that Israel missed, Israel wasn't preached this gospel. This gospel didn't come into being on earth. It was never used. It was the first time, as it says in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, when Paul was saved. And that wasn't until Acts 9. You can't find how we get saved earlier than Acts 9. You can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or in Acts 1 through 8. It's not there. They were saved by covenants, believing the covenants, believing Jesus was the Christ, keeping the commandments. Matthew 23, 1-3 says they had to keep the commandments. Teaching them all things I have taught you, and behold, I am with you always. That part of Christ's commission to Israel's 12 apostles was, it was an earthly commission, and lost my train of thought, but I'm basically done with these notes here and the verses that show our salvation, how we got it, and how Israel failed to have the faith that centurion had.